Du lyssnar på Framgångspodden i samarbete med Acast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Det här avsnittet presenteras i samarbete med Framgångsakademin som är Sveriges största tjänst för personlig utveckling och karriär. Och de har nu lanserat Framgångsakademins app där du kan kolla på alla kurser direkt i mobilen vart du än befinner dig. Här har du Sveriges främsta experter samlade på en och samma plats i syfte att utveckla dig. I och med detta har vi tagit fram ett once in a lifetime erbjudande där du får gå utbildningar helt gratis första månaden följt av 80% rabatt som du sen behåller hur länge du vill. Det är alltså ingen bindningstid eller uppsägningstid. Nu är det enbart 500 stycken som får det här erbjudandet, så det är först till kvarn som gäller. Allt handlar om att inte stå stilla på samma ställe utan istället utvecklas. Och vill du vidare i livet så är detta det absolut billigaste och bästa sättet du kan göra det på. Det är ett enkelt sätt att levla upp både din karriär och dig själv. Så vad väntar du på? Gå in på kampanj.framgangsakademin.se och signa upp dig direkt. Alltså kampanj.framgangsakademin.se.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Let me introduce you to maybe one of the biggest podcasts in the world. Framgångspodden with Alexander Perleros.
Hello, everyone. Today's guest is the legendary leadership and elite performance expert Robin Sharma. He's widely recognized for his number one selling books and his profound work as a personal optimization coach across the globe. His work with Fortune 100 companies such as Nike and Microsoft, and he has worked with billionaires and sports superstars. His insight and knowledge of cultivating inner peace are truly remarkable. Today, Robin is here to talk about his book, The 5 AM Club, which is all about owning your morning and elevating your life. This is a big, big honor for me. Now, let's dive into the interview with Robin Sharma.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Let me introduce you to Framgångspodden with Alexander Perleros.
Welcome none other than Robin Sharma. It's an honor to have you here.
Thank you, Alexander. You? Thanks a lot. Great to be with you.
And today we'll be talking about your best-selling book, The 5 AM Club, that has helped me a lot as well. But before, with everything that's happening in regards to coronavirus, so what is your notion, Robin, about this crisis?
Well, Alexander, I always believe in the midst of stormy seas, there are opportunities to find calm waters. And if you look at the great leaders of humanity, the Nelson Mandelas, the Mother Teresas, the Rosa Parks, if you look at the Martin Luther King Juniors, these heroes were born not in times of ease. These heroes were born when everything was falling apart. So I would say it's a very sad time. There are our brothers and sisters on the planet are dying. And many people are terrified, not only after losing their livelihoods, but of losing their lives. And yet, I think the opportunity, and I say this very respectfully and very gently, but the opportunity is for us to look within ourselves and lean into our fears and become more intimate with our fears so that we can release them and find our braver selves. And I think if you have that mindset and heart set that how can I use this time to strengthen me, to become a more noble person, to become a more loving person, to become a braver and more creative person, then we can navigate this tough time and come out of it, because this will end, and come out of it at a whole new level.
But do you have any advice for the small business owners? I have many friends who are very depressed right now, who are facing difficulties and might be on the edge of closing their businesses. What should they do and how should they think?
So the first thing I would say is, you know, there were many businesses launched in the Great Depression.
Mm.
If you look at the Fender Music Company, if you, a lot of the great inventions, you know, Newton's, you know, the apple falling and gravity happened during the time of the bubonic plague. And so I'm simply saying that if you can keep asking yourself as a small business owner, what's the opportunity here? Even if you're in a restaurant business, okay, maybe it's I start a delivery service. Maybe I have a takeout service. Obviously, I would say, first of all, conserve cash as much as possible. Secondly, as a small business owner, if you've got a team, over-communicate, you know, be very candid, but offer them hope. And the third thing is rework the business rather than put, you know, saying, I give up and waving the white towel of surrender. Ask yourself, what value can I bring to the marketplace right now that none of my industry peers are bringing? And another thing is, you know, build even more closeness with your customers right now. You know, talk to them on the video
platform. Talk to them, call them.
Call them, send them letters, text them, you know, rebuild that connection. Because often in the sunshine, when everything's going great, people are so busy, you know, growing the business, they forget that the very purpose of business is human connections and to add value to human beings. So, look, I know for small business owners and large business owners, there's a difficult time. But I think what separates the people who ultimately become legendary is, I'll put it to you this way, Alexander, Winston Churchill said, never waste a good crisis. And, you know, if you look at how he operated in World War II, that's the time that actually made Winston Churchill Winston Churchill. And so he literally went to a very strategic thinking, very decisive, and it was, what can we do to win? And as a small business owner, you really have to, I believe, take that kind of a military mindset. We are at war. And so see yourself as a wartime general. And you know, marshal your resources, conserve your cash, you know, innovate even more because everyone else is holding back. Everyone else is letting everyone off, you know, letting their teammates off. And so ask yourself, how can I innovate even more? How can I bring even more value to the marketplace? I was talking to someone, they said, you know, Facebook ads are going to be less expensive. This is going to be less expensive. You're going to, right? There are a lot of people looking for a position. So you might even be able to build an even better team.
That's a good answer. That's a really good answer. And the habits and routines is also very, very important. And if we jump into that, why is the first hour of the day the most imperative hour of the day?
Well, if you look at a lot of the great business people right now, you look at Howard Schultz of Starbucks, if you look at Tim Cook of Apple, or if you look at someone like Michelle Obama, these people are all members of the 5 a.m. Club. If you go back in history, you look at the great saints, look at the great artists, look at a lot of the great industry titans. These people were all members of the 5 a.m. Club. These people all understood that the time right around dawn is the quietest time of the day. Now, right now, Alexander, we have new, you know, I'm saying to people on my Instagram, you use news as a tool, not as a drug. And there's just so much distraction, whether it's the news, people are checking the stock markets, people are, you know, staying more close to their family, which is great. but it's really hard to get work done right now. And this is another opportunity for anyone, whether you're a small business owner or an artist, to block out the noise. Of course, be aware of what's going on, but block out the noise so you don't do fake work, you do real work. So that when this ends, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, or whatever, you come out and you've written your Sistine, your masterpiece, or you've created the piece of code that disrupts the market, or you've, you know, created more value and new products that allow you to just soar when this all ends. So the time at 5 to 6 is the time of greatest quietude. It's the greatest time to nurture yourself, which is so important when you go out in the world. And I'll simply offer the Spartan warrior saying that I talk about in the book, which is sweat more in training and you'll bleed less in war. And so imagine.
And what does that mean to you then?
Well, it means that every.
I love that quote.
Yeah, and I think every day is a war. You know, even if we're not in a pandemic, if you're a business person or a human being, and I don't want to overstate it, but business isn't always easy. As a human being, even, you know, we've got relationships. If you're in a relationship or any relationship, has easy times and hard times. Life is, you know, it's like a roller coaster ride. And by taking that first hour in the 5 a.m. club, I call it the victory hour, and doing the 20-20-20 formula that is currently helping millions of people around the world battle-proof their mindset, heart set, health set, and soul set, the four interior empires in the book. Well, you do that from 5 to 6. At 6 o'clock, you have battle-proofed your focus. You have fortified your emotional life. You've upgraded your physical life. And you have calibrated your spiritual life. You're just a much stronger person. So you go out in your day, and we can get into the neuroscience that I talk about in the book, but you go out in your day and things that would activate you don't bother you as much. And you're just more anchored and grounded in what you want to stand for in your truest power.
So can you break down this practical method?
Sure.
In 2020?
Sure. So the 20-20-20 formula, a little bit of backstory for your many viewers and listeners around the world. So University College London says it takes 66 days to wire in a new habit. So I think it's important for us all to remember that, because all change is hard at first, messy in the middle, and gorgeous at the end. So a lot of us, when we want to install a new habit, whether it's joining the 5 a.m. club or, you know, doing the second wind workout I talk about in the book, or whatever habits we want to install, we practice them for a few days, and then it's hard, and so we resist it and say, I guess I'm not the kind of person who could do this habit. We are literally built to adopt and integrate new habits. It's called neuroplasticity, which is the ability of the human brain to adapt and grow into new habits. But we don't stay with the process long enough. So the first thing I'd say is give it 66 days of getting up at 5 a.m. And remember the brain tattoo in the book that it will be hard at first, because if it's a good change, it's going to be hard.
So it'll
be hard at first, then it'll be messy in the middle for about 22 days. There's a model in the book that explains it. It's going to be messy. It's like a renovation. You're tearing down your weaker structures, like in a house, to build even better ones. And that's what's happening in the world right now. Macro level, we're tearing down the old structures of greed and selfishness and hurting our environment and disrespecting each other. And, you know, many people in business getting as much cash as possible versus giving as much value as possible. So that's all being torn down. Then the final part is, you know, it's beautiful at the end. Okay, so now you're in the process of getting up at 5 a.m. What do you do? So let's be very tactical. 20-20-20 formula, high level for you now. There's three pockets. The first 20 minutes is move. The second 20-minute pocket from 5:20 to 5:40 is reflect. And the third pocket is grow. So what do you do in the move pocket? Well, the first thing you want to do after you brush your teeth, et cetera, is you want to sweat. And in other words, you could run on a treadmill, you could skip like the boxers do. You know, I used to love SoulCycle. Now SoulCycle's closed for now, but
just I always do Tabata in the morning.
What do you do?
Tabata training.
What? I don't know.
Tabata, you know, 20-second work.
Oh.
And then rest 10 seconds, 20 seconds, push-ups, rest 10 seconds. I always do squats for 20 seconds and then rest 10 seconds. And then push-ups for 20 seconds and rest 10 seconds. And then you do it maybe 10 times or 15 times.
Yeah, and so that's very interesting. And so what that kind of thing does, or what running on, you know, any kind of sweaty exercise, even just running at home because we're all at home now, you know, or jumping jacks, it'll release sweat. Here's the value of sweating. Your brain will release BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which has actually been shown that John Rady at Harvard calls it miracle grow for the brain. BDNF will release, will help brain cells that have been damaged by stress grow and promote neurogenesis, which is actually the growth of new brain cells. Sweating first thing in the morning in those 20 minutes will release dopamine. Dopamine is the inspirational neurotransmitter. How valuable is that? We'll feel strong. Sweating in the morning and exercising for 20 minutes will release serotonin, the feel-good neurotransmitter. It'll release oxytocin, which is the neurochemical that is released when we hug each other, which we can't do anymore. It'll release cortisol, the fear hormone. Okay, I think hopefully I've shared some of the neuroscience of the value of working out for 20 minutes first thing in the morning. Drink water as well. So you hydrate, which boosts metabolic function and release toxins through your body, which also helps inflammation. And I'm not an epidemiologist, but Alexander, the people who are beating the coronavirus had a very strong immune system, and they had inflammatory response to the virus that helped them survive. Okay, now the second pocket, five that I talk about in the book, 520 to 540, that's all about reflect. Well, that's another thing that this situation and lockdown has helped us to do. We were busy being busy. We were a culture of cyber zombies. We forgot to even look at each other. We would look at our white screens. We weren't present. Okay, so now the second pocket of the 5 a.m. club method is all about reflection. A lot of people right now are facing anxiety. Do you know why? They can't stand being alone with themselves. Blaise Pascal, the French mathematician, said, most of man's miseries derive from his inability to sit quietly in a room with himself. If we've done something wrong to people, we don't want to feel it. So we're out in the world socializing, being busy. If we have the pain of potential unexpressed, we don't want to feel it. So we escape through external. Now we have to be at home alone. That's the opportunity. So the second pocket is reflect. Pray, meditate, write in a journal, visualize, or simply immerse yourself in silence to hear the silent whispers of your greatest self.
But that's also scary. It's many people that doesn't like themselves or feel like when it is quiet and they be by themselves, it's very, very scary.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying to hear the whispers of truth. It's terrifying to hear your wisest self. You know, one of the four interior empires I talk about in the book is soul set. Everyone's talking about mindset. I believe there's four elements to work on. Mindset, which is your psychology, heart set, which is your emotional life. We have one. Health set, which is your physicality, and soul set, which is your spirituality. We're spiritual beings. And what you're speaking to, Alexander, is very important. I think we have an egoic self and we have a heroic self. The egoic self is the voice of fear and wounding and insecurity. Let me take from the world. Let me get more social media likes. Let me be liked in society. Let me have a big house. Let me have all these material things. And then what happens is we define ourselves by material things. Now we start losing them and we can't survive. The heroic self is the larger part of us that doesn't need anything from the outer world. It's being in the world, but not of the world, if that makes sense. And so in that reflection pocket, that's 20 minutes in this 5 a.m. method, move, reflect, grow. You've got 20 minutes from 5:20 to 5:40 to do those tactics, meditate, pray, sit in silence, journal, affirm, where you get to do the powerful inner work to let go of your ego and reclaim that inner warrior. And then the final part is from 5:40 to 6 o'clock, and that's grow. And we all know, you know, the billionaires and the titans and the great athletes, they all have one thing in common. They love to grow. So that's where you get to read a book. You get to watch your podcast. It's where you get to watch a TED talk. It's where you get to listen to an audio book. It's where you can look in your journals and review your high value targets and your ambitions. And I mean, growth is the secret sauce of the greatest performers in the world. Now it's 6 o'clock. You spent 1 hour with this structured routine I teach in the book. You feel fundamentally different.
That's great. But when I heard about this, I had a question, and that's for the people who have maybe tremendous stress and obligations or multiple children to take care of. What would be your advice for this individual that feel like, I don't have the time. I don't have the time to go up 5 a.m. or it doesn't work for me.
Well, first of all, I would say, I'm sensitive to everyone's situation, and we all have things. I have 2 children, I have obligations, etc. And I say this with great respect, but the more we recite our excuses, the more we believe they are true. The more we say, "Well, here's why I can't build a great company. Here's why I can't get fit. Here's why I can't fall in love with the greatest person. Here's why I can't save my business right now." You know, Ellen Langer at Harvard University, a very eminent psychologist, used this term. She said the psychology of possibility. So we can either be champions of can't or masters of can. And so I would say, there's religions that say get up at 4 a.m. to do your prayers. Millions of people on the planet get up at 5 a.m. I'm sure many of them have children,
have obligations.
Right? So, yeah. So if we look for excuses, and it's the same thing. Often we say, well, you know, I'd like to fast. You know, fasting is very big for me. I'd like to fast, but I can't. I'd like to get the promotion, but I can't. And so, you know, I would say, let's all shift from victimhood to leadership. And even if you have children, unless they're young, and I understand that, but maybe 3 times a week you do it. There's always, if you are, you started off your interview asking about small business owners. The best entrepreneurs are, it sounds very simple, but they're solutions focused versus problem oriented.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about the rituals, one of them, that fasting, and you have 10 rituals in your book as well. And we can jump into fasting. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, you know, I'm not a medical doctor or anything like that. I just, for me, I fast. Like, it took me 4 years to write the 5 a.m. Club because I wanted it to be sort of my legacy piece. Backstory is, I've been teaching leadership and personal mastery for 24 years. I've worked with a lot of the Fortune 500 and I've mentored billionaires and NBA stars, et cetera. And I taught him the morning routine I explain in the book. And so I wanted to write a book on the 5 a.m. Club. So one of the things I did when I was writing the book is I would fast. I wrote the book in Rome and St. Petersburg, Russia, and Switzerland, and all the. And I'd have my last meal around 9, and then I would get up in the morning and I would drink some good coffee, 2 cups of coffee, because coffee is a great cognitive enhancer and it's a great antioxidant. And I would do my exercise and start writing. And I found that fasting gave me incredible mental clarity, incredible energy. And, you know, it even saved money on food when you really think about it. And so I'm a huge fan of fasting. And from what I've read, when you fast, it puts you into I don't know if you're interested in the science behind it, but there's something very powerful. It's called autophagy. And fasting puts you in a state of autophagy, which builds your immune system, and it manages blood sugar levels, and it's very, very powerful. So,
And also less inflammations.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And again, I'm not giving advice, but I'm fasting a lot through this pandemic. And I just believe that it's helping me keep my inflammatory response or inflammation low. And I think that's, you know, it's, I think it's something that'll help.
All right. And when do you start eating again? And when do you quit eating every day?
Well, my last meal is 9 o'clock, and then my first meal.
9 o'clock.
Yeah. And then my first meal is between 4 and 6. And it took me a while to do it. But, you know, there are 10, one of the, so the book is a story, as you know. And it's got these characters. It's sort of like the monk who sold his Ferrari in a story form. But there's these models. And the model you're speaking of is the 10 daily rituals of genius. And I don't get into fasting. I just touch on it. But the 10 models are, you know, one of them is the second wind workout, for example, which is if you believe that exercise in the morning is powerful, then why would you only do exercise once a day? So I recommend the second wind workout, which is when you finish work, you go for a nature walk. Obviously, we need to self-isolate. But in Sweden, you've got, I know you're global, but in Sweden, you've got amazing forests and trails. And what I do is I go for a second wind workout, which increases my energy for the evening. Another one of the rituals in that model is the 2-massage protocol. We can't do it now. I get it. But massage has saved my life. So I'm really an evangelist twice a week, 2 90-minute massages. Now, a lot of people will say, I can't afford that. Well, one thing I've learned from the billionaires is they don't focus on cost. They focus on return on investment. Another of the rituals that I talk about out of the 10 is the 60-minute student. Do not go to sleep unless you've spent 60 minutes in learning, because right, even right now, knowledge is the game changer. Knowledge about what do you eat right now to stay strong. Knowledge about how do you, for the people that are losing their businesses, what do you do? Knowledge about where could this go? Could this be the greater depression? Knowledge, you know, those of us, in the book I talk about granularity and superficiality. Very important approach to survive right now as a human being or a business person. We live in the cult of superficiality. Let me go online and look at one article and then make my decision. A lot of business people. Let me look at an Instagram post or a quick post. Got it. Here's how I'm going to pivot on my business. When I work with the best of the best, they're granular. You know, Charles Darwin spent 7 years studying barnacles to form his theory of evolution. You know, Kobe Bryant would study game video obsessively for hour after hour, for year after year, to understand the arc of the ball. So most people, it's like a very superficial approach. I'm saying, have a granular approach. So what I'm suggesting is this 60 minutes of learning every day, that's just minimum viable learning. It will allow you to have very deep knowledge of where this is all going, so you can make the decisions that will allow you to not only survive, but thrive.
And when I listen, I do that, and one of the days I were listening at one of your episodes in the podcast, and you were talking about Nelson Mandela, and this was a very big moment for me, because you talk about forgiveness, and after I listened to that one, I called the guy that I at that time hate the most. He had done so much bad stuff to me, but I also had it, the hate as a stone in my heart. So, but after I heard this story that you will start talking about now, but it's actually, it was a game changer for me. So can you tell me about the story, the Nelson Mandela part, and what you have learned, how to rule forgiveness?
What a great question. You know, I once heard someone say, if we haven't forgiven someone, we're carrying that person on our back through life. And when we start the process of forgiveness, it's not only a gift we give to the other person, because they're hurting too. They know they've done something wrong generally, but it's a gift you give yourself. So a few years ago, I made a voyage to South Africa. And then Nelson Mandela is a great hero in my life. I think a towering figure of leadership and humanity. And I landed in Cape Town, and then I eventually took a ferry and I met a guide, and it was a cold, wintry South African morning. And the guide showed me the limestone quarry where Nelson Mandela would cut stones, and he damaged his lungs because of the dust. And then the guide showed me the showers where Nelson Mandela, as an elderly man, would shower naked while the young guards laughed at him to humiliate him. And then he showed me the place where Nelson Mandela would eat with the other prisoners. And the guide said the food was like dog food, again, designed to break his spirit. And then the guide walked me to the courtyard where Nelson Mandela would exercise, but also tend to his tomato plant and hide his manuscript of A Long Walk to Freedom. And then he walked me up to the fourth window in the courtyard and into Nelson Mandela's room. And I saw nothing, a tiny cell, and not even a bed, Alexander. He slept on the floor. And so he was on Robben Island for 18 years of a total of 27 years of confinement. And he was tortured and humiliated. He said his greatest regret was they would not let him out of the prison to attend the funeral of his eldest son who was killed in a car accident. And yet, when Nelson Mandela was released from prison and South Africa was on the brink of civil war, he reached out to one of the jailers who had kept him in prison. And he said, I'd like you to come to my inauguration as the president of South Africa. And people could not believe. And actually, you know, he actually reached out to the prosecutor who asked for the death penalty of him and said, let's have dinner. Said, let's have dinner. And when people asked, why did you do this? He said, because if I didn't, I'd still be in prison.
Wow.
And, you know, you're right. Forgiveness is a prison. And I've been hurt. I've been betrayed. I've been wronged. Even this morning, you know, in my morning routine, this is why I really believe the 5 a.m. club method, your morning routine could save your life now. And even when we come out of it, doing the 20-20-20 formula, and not only the mindset work, so many people, everything is mindset. You've probably seen it all over Instagram. Everything is mindset. Well, how could everything be mindset? That's just your psychology. We have hearts. We have heart, the term I introduced in the book. We have heart sex. And then we have bodies, physical lives, health sex. And then we have spiritual lives, soul sex, which is not religious. It's just the truthful, honorable, loving, creative part of us that so many of us have forgotten. And that's why I think doing this morning routine, doing this work while the rest of the world is asleep, this is how you strengthen yourself. This is how you grow. This is when you forgive. You know, I mean, in Indian culture, they have a term, and I wish I could remember the term, but I think it's a Sanskrit term. I think it's something like Brahmacharya, but it talks about the hours between 4 and 6. And what they say is, because of the tides and because of the energy in the world, and this is not mystical, this is, you know, like the tides, and we are most available to growing. And that's why they say, that's why the great sages and saints and monks, they meditate between 4 and 6 in the morning, because their meditations and their prayers and the reading of the scriptures go most deep. It's not at 2 in the afternoon or even 11 o'clock at night. Those early morning hours are where heroes truly are made.
And which time do you go to bed if you go up around 5?
Well,
is it 9 or 10 or?
Well, from the research, they're saying between 7 to 9 hours is really important, extremely important. So I would recommend between 7 and 9 hours.
For live long or?
Yes, completely right. The number one way to cut your longevity is sleep deprivation. So the 5 a.m. club is not about burning the candle at both ends. There's actually a chapter in the 5 a.m. club called The Essentialness of Sleep, where all the characters are in the catacombs in Rome. And your pre-sleep ritual is incredibly important. Last night I put lavender here and I have a sleep balm and I take a bath and then I spray lavender on my pillows and I have some tea. Well, I have a really good ritual, so I sleep very deeply. But I sleep at for some reason I sleep at 11. But here's my secret weapon, napping.
Okay. Is it once a day or?
Yeah. Once a day, ideally at 4:30, I take a 1 hour nap, and I learned it from my dad, who was a doctor for 54 years. And he'd go to work and he'd come home at 3 o'clock and he had a dinner with the family, because we used to finish school at 3:30. And then he would, with his suit on, tie, he was like very old school, you know, suit and tie, he would lay down and sleep for an hour and then go back to work until 10 o'clock.
That's great.
Pretty interesting. So probably...
I also heard that it's the same for, you can say, I have a 1.5 year old boy at home, and he sleep now once every day, but it's also good for the learnings that if you sleep, and it's good for the brain that take in everything, and your work, it can be if you do a test in school and on the evening you don't know anything about it, but you're studying, and then when you wake up you don't know what happened, but you know everything. So it's also good for learnings, to sleep, to take a nap.
You know, I'd love to look at some of the learning, the learning optimization science and research, and see how naps fit in, because it's interesting what you said. One thing I do know is a lot of the great, I think Churchill used to nap. I know for a fact from my readings, JFK was a napper. And so, you know, more routines are very important. I don't know if you've seen that incredible Gary Oldman performance in The Darkest Night. Did you see that movie?
No, I've not seen it.
I think it's The Darkest Hour, but it's
Darkest Hour. Okay.
It's Gary Oldman playing Churchill during World War II. And I think, you know, it's worth watching again, all of us, because it shows how he navigated wartime. And this is wartime. As a matter of fact, I know you're in Sweden. I saw this incredible, I don't know if it's still in date, but I'm pretty sure that in 2018, the Swedish government released a little pamphlet called something like what happened, what to do in times of crisis or war.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They did that. 2018.
Yeah, I think they did it back in the 20s or something, and then they really
yeah, that's right.
Right. So I just, what I'm suggesting is that movie And just learning how people operate in war is smart because we are in a war. So all I'm saying is routines, not only morning routine, but daily routine. We're all at home. We're all in self-isolation. Your routine will save you. You know, do your morning routine and then do your work routine and then, you know, schedule it right now. So you literally, you're still working and then have your family time. Your kids might be home. Your significant other might be home. Schedule your dinner time or a break time and then schedule your pre-sleep routine. Because I think right now we need structure. And structure is very important to not only being great with your family, but being great with your career and great with yourself.
And if we talk a little bit about creativity, how can an individual deviate from complacency?
Oh, I love creativity. Well, the first thing to remember is, you know, Bono was asked about U2. And he said something interesting. He said, YouTube has been on the verge of irrelevance for 25 years. And I think what he's saying is, if you fall into complacency and you run your winning formula every day and every year, you're on the path to obsolescence. And so one of the things I realized working with the, you know, mentoring a lot of the most successful business people in the world is these people. Well, Andy Grove of Intel said it well. He said, only the paranoid survive. And I'm not suggesting paranoia. I'm simply saying you've got to be willing to constantly challenge the things you believe to be true. You've got to be constantly willing, even as a business person or a human being. What is our winning formula? And how can we tear it down for the sake of innovation? So creativity is just like right now while we're alone, creativity screams loudest in solitude. I get my best ideas alone. You know, I mean, I'm here in like this little lab I have where I come to that, you know, it's almost like a ritual where I walk in here and it's like subconscious mind, muse, show up. And so in isolation is actually where creativity comes to life. It's not in, we don't get our best ideas at the office or when we're talking to 20 people. And we could get into the science again. Mihai Csikszentmihalyi wrote a great book 25 years ago called Flow. Now everyone's talking about flow. And flow is when we turn down our prefrontal cortex, the seat of reasoning. Like great ideas never come from logic. They come from that vast reservoir of genius. I talk a lot about it in the 5AM Club. We all have primal genius. There's even the model. It's called transient hypofrontality. I don't know. I'm trying to find it in the book, but it's called transient hypofrontality. We all have this ability. We just, most of us don't know how to use it. And if we got into silence and ran the right morning routine, we would shut down the prefrontal cortex, which is the seat of thinking, which would allow us to go into flow state and tap into not only beta, but alpha and theta state where genius lives. And all I'm saying is it's a great time to be more creative right now.
It is. It is. And also another part that I like when you talk about is how to handle haters. And because we all have some of them and get connect with haters, and you can hate and people maybe can hate you. And I love that happy people never hate. You are now winning when you start attracting haters. Can you discuss this a little bit?
Yeah, I would say haters are love teachers in disguise. I mean, I'm not speaking out of school. You talked about the gentleman that hurt you. Well, here's how I look at it. He came to teach you forgiveness. He's a love teacher in disguise. I mean, that guy is.
He actually teach me with help with you.
Well, you're very generous. You're very generous, and if I've helped, it's an honor. But you know, the trolls and the people who sling arrows at us, we can point a finger at them and make it all about them, or we can look within ourselves. And Alexander, we can say, what old wounds have they activated? I mean, that's a very powerful thing to do right now. A lot of people, they're depressed or they're anxious or they're terrified. But we couldn't feel terrified unless we had pre-existing fear inside of us that the global collapse and the virus has activated. Does that make sense? So this is actually a chance for us to say, to build more intimacy with our heart set wounds and say, oh, when I was 4 years old, I felt threatened. I felt scared because of this, or because, you know, my parents, well-intentioned, couldn't understand my needs. And this is the healing that is most powerful that really builds heroes. So what I would say about heroes is, don't make it about them. Everyone on the planet is doing the best they can based on the consciousness they are at. And if they could have done better, they would have done better. Go use it as an opportunity and say, what wounds have they activated? And start that healing of feeling the wound to release that wound. And then you'll grow into love. Another thing I would say is, as you become more successful, the haters will come out to play. So you know you're doing well when you're being hated. Third thing I would say, Bob Dylan said, don't criticize what you don't understand. A lot of my message is, in your work, release magic to the world. So many people think about marketing. I'd say spend less time on marketing. Spend more time on releasing work that represents magic. That's why I spent 4 years writing the 5AM Club. I wanted it to be the single most beautiful, valuable piece of work I've ever done. I was exhausted through it. It was a painful, beautiful process. But here's the thing. When you release your art or poetry to the world, the very nature of great art means it's a disruptive act. Look at you know, the Mona Lisa when it first came out. Look at any great app when it first comes out. Look at the internet when it first came out. Look at any real innovation is called crazy before it's revered. So all I'm trying to say is, when you are putting your best out into the world, it's a very terrifying act. If you're doing what everyone else is doing, it's not terrifying. If you put out, you know, even as someone who said, right, oh, the world isn't flat, guys, it's round. Oh, the germ theory, like leeches, that's not how you cure it. You know, these are viruses, pretty apt right now. So let's come up with antibiotics and whatever. Those people were called crazy. Some of them were fired from the university for coming up with those radical ideas that we now revere. So if you're a revolutionary, if you're a real artist, if you're a real innovator, if you're a visionary, you will be hated until you are revered. You know, Van Gogh, he sold 2 paintings in his lifetime. He died dirt poor. He was hated, called crazy. Now how much, now what do people say about Van Gogh?
And which part of your life have you felt that you have been most hated or had problem with this, that it had taken so much time from you?
I think neurobiologically we are tribal, and we're herd creatures. And if we would stray from the herd thousands of years ago, we would be eaten by saber-toothed tigers or die of starvation. So now here we are in the modern world, and we are addicted to social media because we want to be liked by the world. But to speak to your point directly, I think one of the things that I don't want to use the word struggle, because we amplify what we speak about. But one of the things I spent a lot of my healing time on is to get to a place of not really caring about what other people think. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. One thing I've learned mentoring so many billionaires is they don't really care what anyone else thinks, and it's really helped them in business. So I've tried to do my best to, you know, obviously be respectful to people, but if someone doesn't understand my work and what I'm trying to do, if someone doesn't understand why I get up at 4 or 5 in the morning, or why I do all the methodologies and routines I do, like nature walks every day and quiet time and journaling, and I don't run my life like a lot of people. I now am very strong in my own skin, and as long as it feels right to me, and when my head hits the pillow every night, my conscience is clear, then it's okay. And as long as I'm not hurting anyone, it's okay. Because I think ultimate success is being comfortable in your own skin, not having a lot of money or a lot of fame and fortune.
And that's also very interesting. If we talk about Mother Teresa, that also I know that it's a legendary leaders of our history, Mother Teresa. What did she teach you about the materialistic items?
That's a beautiful question. About 10 years ago, I stood in Mother Teresa's bedroom, or in Kolkata, then Calcutta, in her mission. And they escorted me into her room, and it wasn't all that different from Nelson Mandela's. Now, obviously, there weren't prison bars, but there was just a desk and a bed. Now, Nelson Mandela didn't have the bed, but that's all it was. So what Mother Teresa taught me about materialism is the same thing Nelson Mandela taught me about materialism, and the same thing Gandhi taught me about materialism. You know, Gandhi died with under 10 possessions, yet he was one of the greatest humans on the planet. And so I think again, this time in the world is teaching us be in the world, but not of the world. For those of us who have identified, like for those of us who are our identity and joy, in the book I talk about joy, peace, and freedom. And there's that model, joy is a GPS. And what I say is the things that bring you joy are where you're meant to be. Follow your joy. That's your higher wisdom. That's your soul set saying, Alexander, that friend or that project, that place is where you're meant to be versus what your reasoning mind says. So what I'm saying is, for those of us who have derived our joy from externals, money, houses, acclaim, fame, fortune, our axis of power has now been destroyed as those things fall apart. For those of us, I'm not saying, you know, I know everything. I'm not saying it's me. I'm saying for those people who have been on the path of personal mastery, self-leadership, what I call mindset, heartset, healthset, soulset work, the four interior empires. For those of us who have been meditating, exercising, writing in a journal, working with therapists, praying, all that excavation, as dangerous, messy, confusing as it is. It's suffering, releasing your pain and your wounds to forgive and love and be creative. For those of us, it's a lot easier because, you know, we've gotten to a place where if we lose it all, we say, hey, that was a pretty great ride, but it just doesn't matter. You know, I love reading the Meditations of Marcus Aurelius. I love it because he was a Roman emperor who talked about the shortness of life. And there's, I wish I had the book here, I'd read it, but it's basically, you know, life is just this flowing water fame is soon oblivion. Alexander and his mule driver both ended up in this. Alexander the Great and his mule driver both ended up at the same place. Let's not take it too seriously.
Now it's time for Trace Sister Fragor.
And I want to jump into the last question. And the first one is, best advice you have ever received?
I would say three pieces. Number one, my mentor when I was 21 said, run your own race. Stay in your own lane. Don't worry about how other people are living. Don't fall into the comparison trap. Eleanor Roosevelt said, comparison is the thief of joy. Second best piece of advice is get up early. You know, just the way you start your day determines the way you live your day. A lot of people say, when I do that, we get more done by 10 than most people get done in a few days. But it's so important because your outer life reflects your inner life. And if you can spend an hour while everyone else is asleep when it's quiet to do that inner work, your outer life will grow. And then the third piece of advice came from my dad. And he used to quote the Bengali poet Rabindranath Tagore. And he would say, Robin, when you were born, you cried while the world rejoiced. He said, son, when you live your life in such a way that when you die, the world cries while you rejoice. And so that piece of advice is basically life is short. We're all going to be dust. Serve as many people as possible so your life had some real meaning to it.
Yeah. And we jump into the next one. And you have become one of the most widely read authors alive today. How do you want to be remembered, Robin?
You know, I used to talk a lot about legacy. I even wrote a book called Who Will Cry When You Die? I honestly think legacy is an ego pursuit. Having my name on a, you know, like some people, like having the name on a hospital wing or this, I'm not judging. I'm just saying what's right for me. To me, it doesn't work for me anymore because I don't care about how I'm going to be remembered. Like the great kings and queens of history, we don't remember most of them. I don't care. I don't care how I'm going to be remembered, and I won't be remembered. If they remember me as a loving, supportive, amazing father, that would mean a lot to me. But aside from that, I don't really care if people remember me because I know I'll be forgotten. And in the, you know, how long has the galaxy been around? We're all insignificant.
And what is your why?
Service. You know, when I was, I asked the guide who walked me around Nelson Mandela's cell and gave me the tour. I said, did you know Nelson Mandela? And he said, yes, I served with him. I mean, it was amazing. He goes, I was a former ANC prisoner. And he said, I served with him for 7 years on Robben Island. So the obvious question is, I said, what was he like? And Alexander, here's what he said. He said, oh, that man was a humble servant.
You must tell me, Robin, the story that I also heard is in one of your podcasts that I thought that this is amazing. And it were, if I remember right, you were out for a walk in the woods and you met a guy or saw a couple and you started to talk with them. And one of them said that, I want to be that guy that you only meet once in a lifetime. Can you tell me about this story? Because this was also a game changer for my life. It was so big.
Well, there's a philosophy that I share, which is leave people better than you found them. And, you know, that meeting was just someone who got what it was all about, you know, and I meet the most interesting thing people when I walk in the woods. Now, unfortunately, even in the forest, people don't look at you anymore because of the social, it's an interesting dynamic, you know, people will no longer, even if it's just you and another human being in the forest, and I know it's from fear, but usually, I mean, this is all going to end and the world is going to be better. And we're going to be stronger and more loving. But, you know, I used to meet someone in the woods and we'd just talk. And it was basically, you know, I want to be that person that, you know, you'll meet once in a lifetime. You'll never forget. And I think, I mean, I think that speaks to a lot of really good things, which is even right now, and I'd say especially right now, you're right. I mean, a lot of people are, I was going to use the word broken, but no one's broken. A lot of people are hurting very seriously. And by picking up the phone or texting someone and just saying, I had this call the other day with someone. Someone I call a friend, but we hadn't spent a lot of time. And I heard he was in need. And I'm not saying I'm a guru or anything like that. I'm a very ordinary human being. I'm a work in progress. But someone said, you know, he believes in you and he's hurting. So I actually said, you know, let's get his phone number. And I contacted him. I sent him a text and I said, let's talk. He replied and I, you know, we just talked. And then yesterday I sent him another text, which is, I'm just checking in. And all I'm saying is, we might save someone's life with that one call right now. I was hurting very bad. I've gone through a lot of dark nights of the soul. Times where I was on my knees. You know, they say sometimes when you're on your knees, you're closest to God. And I remember when I was going through it was a divorce many years ago. And I was very, I was hurting a lot. And a mentor at the time said to me, he said, this too shall pass. And this too shall, four words got me through it. If I said to you, this too shall pass, it might not land on you. But those four words, you know, were my salvation. And so your work, but it's for all of us. And you don't have to have a platform and be an influencer. You know, you could be a street sweeper. But, you know, you're one of those people, everyone else is in isolation and you're sweeping the street. Or let's talk about the healthcare workers who are literally putting their lives at stake. And that's why on my Instagram for weeks before like lockdowns, I was going, stay at home, self-isolate. You know, if you look at the science, this is... it's a very contagious virus. So it's not only staying at home for you and your family, you're stay at home for the respect of your citizens and your community. And think about those healthcare, you know, like we're seeing images of people at parties, coronavirus parties. So all I'm saying is you look at those healthcare workers, they're putting their lives on the line every day. Now, this is a time where we can all do our part like they are. They sure are. But we can all do our part to make the world a better place. And one act right now could save someone's life.
Yeah. I must tell you that one of my friends were a monk for 17 years. And yeah, and then he came home to Sweden. And when he had his wedding some years ago, in his wedding ring, they texted, this too shall pass.
Wow.
Björn Natthiko Lindeblad. That's very, very deep. So when I heard that, I was also very inspired that in that moment that you give your life to each other and they wrote this too shall pass in the wedding ring. That's incredible.
Well, that brings up the point, the fleetingness of life. From what I understand about your friend, maybe, I mean, tell me what you think, but to me, that's even this love and even this life together is, you know, I heard Wayne Dyer say this years ago, a parenthesis in eternity. And I think that perspective will serve us well right now. Like our lives, whether we're going to live another 50 lives or another 5 hours, you know, connecting to mortality is not a source of depression. It's a source of inspiration, because then we live, even if I have 3 hours left, I'll live it all in. And I think that's one of the things we're going to take away from, although, you know, human beings, let's, as always, be honest, human beings forget very easily. But, you know, a lot of people do transform when they're faced with death. So I don't know what you think about this too shall pass. To me, it just means everything passes.
Yes, right. And also to remind yourself that, yeah, you can live 80 years, you can live 9 years, but it also can be only 1 month left. And also live the life right now instead of waiting. When I have this car, when I have this, when I have done this, I can be happy. So try to be happy right now and do what you want.
Let me ask you a question, if I may.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you scared of death?
Yes. Yeah, I'm working on it, but right now I'm scared. Yes, not the corona, but like cancer and stuff like that. And I'm not so old. I'm 35, but I see some friends who had cancer, and I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I can say it like that. Yeah, but yeah, I'm scared. And also when I get my boy for 1.5 years ago, I see it on the other side. I see that, okay, now I have jumped up a step in the generation. So the question is, and the answer is yes.
Yeah, it's very honest and very brave. I think that's another opportunity for us as well in our quiet time. Because wouldn't that be a great thing to work on fearlessness around death? Because I think a lot of the fears we have as we go through life, fear of loss, fear of disease, fear of losing everything, fear of not fitting in. I think below all of that, almost every human being, those fears are being fed by the fundamental human fear of death. But here's how I look at death. And I've never shared this in an interview, but for whatever reason, you know, I feel safe enough to share it with you.
Thank you very much, Robin.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, and I thank you. But when we die, I believe we go to an even better place. So it's like, hey, would you like to stay at an okay hotel or would you like to stay at an amazing hotel? And this, you know, this planet and this life it's a good hotel. You know, there's a lot of blessings and beauty. I'm a huge fan of that, obviously, through my work. But if someone said, would you like to go to an even better hotel? With a 100x experience that's that much better? What are you going to say? And so for me, I'm not saying I have my other fears like every human being does, but if I was to die tomorrow, I'm good. I've had times at the top of the mountain, times in the valley that have actually been the ones that have really shaped me. And I'm good with my life. And it's been a great ride. And I think, you know, I would encourage everyone to, through prayer, meditation, reading a lot of the Stoic literature, a lot of the holy books, acts of service, all the tactics that I teach. That work actually gets you to a place where death is just another chapter it's just another experience.
Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for being open to hearing.
And thanks for visiting the podcast. It has been a big honor to have you here. And I recommend everybody who are listening or view this one that get this book, The 5 AM Club. It's a really good book. Can learn you very much. And also it is it's a really good book. You learn very much and it is so well written. And I can ask you a last question. Why do you think this book has gone so viral in the world and has done so big movement?
I would say I wrote it with great love and people are feeling the love. And, you know, I'm not new to the field. I'm going into a quarter of a century helping people express their genius and live their truth and become great leaders and achieve amazing things and be super productive and live beautiful lives. And there's not only philosophy in the book, there's tactics, there's neuroscience, there's wisdom, there's depth. The book works. If the book didn't work, it wouldn't be selling like it is. So it's a book that actually causes transformations. You know, you could look at I know you follow me on Instagram. You probably see what it's doing for people. So it really, really works for people. And the method has worked for me and it's worked for so many of my clients. It's a method that just works.
Yeah. And if you want to learn more, you can visit robinsharma.com.
Yeah. The mothership is robinsharma.com. So anyone you have so many followers, they can, you know, get onto my mailing list. And through this time of crisis, I'm sending videos, I'm sending message of hope and tactics. And so they can get all of that. I do a lot on YouTube. So I think I have 150 videos on YouTube. It's all content. And, you know, I did one recently, how to get through hard times. It's very much about leadership, yeah. Productivity, mindset, heartset, health set. And I'm on Instagram, and I try to post really valuable content once a day, not too much. So those are some of the ways that people can stay connected if they resonate with what I've shared.
Okay. Thank you very much for visiting Robin Sharma.
Thanks. Thanks. Really enjoyed it, Alexander. Keep up your amazing work and stay healthy.
Thanks.
Fram Gang Spotty with Alexander Pelleros.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.